The Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is The Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
Ready. All right. Tonight, we have a big night, Sean.
I'm ready.
Big night. We got a heavy hitter coming in studio. We were talking about him a couple weeks ago. He's been...
Yeah, we talk about you a lot on the show, actually.
Well, I remember when you guys were in juvenile hall. I miss all you guys.
So if you guys know that voice, that's my dad, Raul Reese, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Diamond Bar. Yeah, we do talk about you on the show a lot.
Oh, no.
We were talking about how last show we were talking trash, saying, man, you know, he's been hit with a grenade. He's been shot, how many times, twice?
Once and blown up once.
Okay, so you've been hit with a grenade. So you have two Purple Hearts from the Marines. Shot once, hit with a grenade, kicked out of a mental institution because you were too angry.
Yes.
Then you got leukemia.
Yeah.
You got healed. And
In three days.
And then you got coronavirus, they say.
And he's battled this thing for the last 11 years.
And he's been having seizures, mild seizures.
16 years.
What do the seizures do to you? Tell the
They kind of distant me. Mm-hmm. I don't lose consciousness, but I can't read and I can't speak.
Yeah.
It's weird. For a minute and a half to 2 minutes.
Yeah, I've seen that on, like when you'll be teaching, you just kind of grab your mouth like this and you wait and the church waits. And it's like, it could be like 30 seconds to a minute if it's a big one, but you can't talk. Or sometimes you'll come back in Spanish or you'll come back in like English that's kind of chopped up, but then you come back.
I don't do that anymore. I just don't come out.
No, you don't. Yeah.
No.
Because you start speaking in tongues on accident.
No, because I might speak Chinese next time.
Yeah. Who knows?
And then he just had shoulder surgery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was always healthy until I met both of you.
But we had a bet, like if you would, because you got a surgery on a Thursday, and there was a bet, like, is he going to teach on Sunday? Because a lot of people say, he's going to be in a lot of pain. There's no possible way.
That's what we were saying.
Yep. His car dries up on Sunday morning, and he taught.
That's what we were saying at the last show when we were talking about you. We're like, is he going to show up? I go, he's going to show up. He's going to show up. He'll do it. Trust me. And guess what? You taught right out of surgery. And you still have the brace on your hand right now.
I do it for 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
And then you're going to have to do physical therapy.
Yeah, September 3rd I start.
Yeah. Yeah, I went through that with the torn rotator cuff. But it's interesting. It just starts rebuilding the muscle.
Yeah.
And you get the flexibility. And then it'll be working.
I was looking this morning. I have 8 incisions in the back of my shoulder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen yet because the bandage.
Monet, I said to Monet.
Yeah.
And he told me, he says, you know what? I don't know if I can fix it because it was really torn really bad.
Yeah.
And when I woke up, he goes, hey, I got it, man, better than I thought.
Wow.
Pretty, he's a Christian too.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Now my father-in-law, I don't know if he told you, but he called Crystal and asked how you were doing with the surgery. And now because he has a bad shoulder too.
Yeah.
So now he wants to get the surgery. So he wants to hear how it went. But so far, so good with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It all comes down to any kind of injury. You know, I know you have that back injury and all that. All it comes down to is literally physical therapy. But physical therapy is literally just like stretching and movement. You know what I mean? And like light weights. Like I did it I started with 1 pound weights and I could barely do that before in my arm.
Yeah, I remember.
But now I have 5 pound weights and I'm doing all these reps and you just get stronger. Yeah. But it just comes down to that stretching.
I'm expecting probably within 2 weeks to lift your mom.
Like this, like a wrestler.
Well, you know, one thing I know we got a lot of stuff to talk about on the show, but I do think that this kind of like fits in with everything, Ryan. It's like he's always been so active too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that plays a big role in recovery.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people that his age couldn't have that surgery. If they have a surgery like that, they're going to be down for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. But I think Raul's always made it a point to make sure that you're always moving forward, always on the go.
You don't want to waste time, really. Right. You don't want to waste time. If you can do it, you got to do it. A lot of times people look for excuses. Mm-hmm. Why then go back to work or whatever.
No, yeah, for sure.
So today, Dad, the show that I want to get out of you is, because you have been active. You've always been, you've had a lot of passion and you've trailblazed. You've had a passion. You've had hard work ethics and you got it done. I was just talking to Crystal this morning. Over my bowl of Lucky Charms, by the way. The girl that lives with us, she has Lucky Charms. And I steal them as much as possible. But they're good. I know Jet likes the rainbows.
I like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah. Oh, that's good too. So anyway, you know, I was just talking about how we were talking about how hard it is to get stuff done. It takes time to study. It takes time. Like, you have a mega church now. That just didn't happen. You didn't wake up one day and just say, oh, I'm going to become a pastor. And you started with a mega church. There was so much hard work, so much dedication, so much passion, blood, sweat, and years to get this stuff done. And I want to kind of go, I don't want to do like a highlight reel of your life. I want to get into the nuts and bolts of what it was like, what you were experiencing during these times, going through different processes of your life, getting to where you're at in your life now. Because you also, you have a, how many doctorates do you have?
One.
You have one doctorate and three masters?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so much, and you're in the Hall of Fame for martial arts.
Yes.
And is there anything else? You got tons of books. You've how many times have you taught through the Bible?
I think five times.
Five times from Genesis to Revelations. These are like our Bible studies. This could be a chapter at a time to a couple chapters.
How many studies I had?
Yeah, we did like a math estimation, and this has to do with because he taught so much, like three or four times on Sunday mornings back in the day, and Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
It's close to about probably 30,000 different studies that he's
30,000 studies.
Well, with because of leaderships and because of guest speaking, teaching multiple Wednesday nights and Sundays multiple times. And you just do the math, you know, just in 1 week, he would teach five, six times a week. Seven times a week.
That's not even counting the guest speaking.
Exactly.
And you were speaking all over the place.
Yes.
Because you're an evangelist.
Greater rallies and speaking men's conferences, all that stuff.
Well, there's roughly 32 to 33,000 verses in the Bible.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's crazy. Wow, that is incredible.
It is.
That is a lot of time, study time and all that. So anyway, I definitely want to get into the nuts and bolts of all this stuff because there's a lot of people out there that want to get involved and they want to serve God. And I think, you know, maybe they don't want to be a pastor. Maybe they don't want to be an evangelist. Maybe they just want to know the word of God and see what God does. And I think that's kind of the starting point. I don't think you ever or I ever or you, Sean, or ever was like, I'm going to be an evangelist. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to do this. It was just basically starting at the Jesus 101, and that is studying the word of God.
The call of God.
Getting the call.
Yes.
But how do you get the call? It's through the study of the word,
through
right?
Prayer and through the word.
So you're reading the word, and what happens is as you start reading the word, God starts tugging on your heart, and then he starts putting those desires or the call on your life. So once...
And you know what, Ryan? You got to have a good shepherd. Mm-hmm. Jesus was my shepherd, but Pastor Chuck Smith really influenced me.
Okay, that's good. Okay, let's start there. So first of all, you're talking about you need to be under a good pastor that teaches the Bible, not topical studies. Like literally every single verse in the Bible from Genesis to Revelations.
Right on.
Where they call it...
Exegetical.
Yeah, where you just go... It's story. You just learn story by story.
Yeah.
And this way you get the full counsel of God. Now, when you were doing that under Chuck, after you got the call, what was the first thing that you, like, what'd your study life look like during this process when you were sitting under Chuck? What'd your day-to-day look like?
Well, first of all, I made my schedule to go to Costa Mesa to drive 90 miles, 45 from here and back 45, because I wanted to extend my knowledge. I wanted to be a disciple, and that's what Chuck did with so many people, you know. And to the present time, he decided people don't want to hear him anymore.
Yeah,
excuse me. And so I would spend time, you know, my Kung Fu school teaching, but I would spend time after that studying. I stay up late at night studying the Word of God because I wanted to memorize it. I wanted to organize it. So when I got up to the people, I had something to say.
So you were okay. So you were working full time.
Yes.
How many kids?
Three.
You had me in 75, and that's when did you get saved? 74.
I got saved in 72.
72. So, okay, so I was like 3 years old. So you have a baby in the house, in diapers, and then you have the other two kids. You have your wife. You're working. Are you working full-time at this time, just Kung Fu, or were you working at the market too?
Well, I worked at Kung Fu because I couldn't make it with my Kung Fu, so I worked at Pronto Markets.
Okay, so you were working two jobs.
Yeah.
So you were working at a market full-time, then you were doing...
Training with Jimmy
Then
Wu.
You were training, and you were teaching Kung Fu, starting your studio at that time. So that was a startup company right there, was your passion, Kung Fu, But during that process, after that, then you were driving even an hour, 90 miles there and back
at night
to go get discipled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's commitment.
No, it is.
Okay. Yeah. And then you'd come home, and then whatever you had to do in the evening, you would do that, and you would do that every single day, repeat.
But you know what, Sean? I mean, you know, because you work here, you know, that Chuck saw something in me that I didn't see myself. Mm-hmm. So he chose these guys, mm-hmm. you know, to put a little board together yeah. so that we can continue to hear his heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Well, I heard his heartbeat for almost 50 years. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. And that's where you got the call.
Yep.
So, okay, during this process, when you're getting discipled right now, you're not teaching the Word of God. You're not doing evangelism at this point. But what you're doing is you're just fully plugged in, reading, you're praying, you're driving an hour to sit under Chuck. The commitment is there, the passion is there to drive, but you don't know that you're going to be an evangelist. You don't know you're going to be a pastor at this point. You're just you're a student, like just like you're a student of the martial arts.
Yeah.
We are disciples. We're students of the Word of God, yes. right? So from there, where was the point when you got the call to, or how'd you even get into sharing the Word of God? How'd that start in your
well,
studio?
Well, I saw Chuck's passion. Mm-hmm. I saw, you know, Greg and all of us, you know, mm-hmm. together. So I started going to my old high school. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to my old high school, I started just teaching the Word. I didn't know the Word of God. I just started sharing whatever I knew. And then the Lord called me to go to 7 high schools. Mm-hmm. So at lunchtime, I would show up because I had my Kung Fu studio. Mm-hmm. I would show up at these high schools mm-hmm. and never expecting to see the fruit mm-hmm. that God brought about. Mm-hmm. You know, these kids that one day, they would come to my church. Mm-hmm. They would come to the church here and to see them with marriage, you know, with their kids
yeah.
and loving the Word of God, that the Word of God has such power mm-hmm. that with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit.
Okay. I met, who's the first guy that got saved at your high school? I met him here at the church. I forget his name.
Yeah,
but anyway, I met him here.
Yeah.
But I want to go back. I want to open up that conversation when you're talking about, and Sean, you could jump in yeah. obviously whenever. Yeah. You said that you were going to school and you were sharing, but you didn't even know how to teach the Word of God.
No.
Now, this, I want to unpack this because this is a big deal, because this is the common thing with people. They're like, I don't know what to share. I haven't went to seminary. I haven't been to Bible school. You know, they feel like they are not able to go and step out by faith and share with people. You did not know the Word of God at this time.
I was learning. I was beginning.
You were a total beginner.
Yes.
You were a beginner. You were not seasoned.
I was listening to Chuck's tapes when yep. I was in there.
Right. So you were listening, uh-huh. but then you would go and what you would just like read.
I would share whatever I'm learning.
Yeah. So you would learn something yeah. and you would just share
yeah.
it.
And share, I mean, they saw my life because I shared it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And then I would share Jesus, you know.
Like you would just read the Jesus stories to them.
Yes.
And they kind of like break it down like,
yes.
this is what happened in yeah, this.
This is what goes on. And they would be listening. Mm-hmm. And in that listening, the Holy Spirit was zapping them, you know, their hearts.
Exactly. Okay, go ahead.
You know what? One thing that's important to, I think, note about your story that I think a lot of people need to understand is that you got to be who God's called you to be.
Yes, that's very important.
God uses you in weaknesses. Like, Raul, you were a test too. You hated school, right?
I did not know how to read.
Yeah, you didn't do good
oh,
in school.
Oh, yeah, break all that.
I'm
yeah.
an F student.
You know, you came from Mexico City. Yes. Like, how old were you when you
came? I was 10 years old.
10 years old. I mean, you love the United States of America.
Yes, that's my country.
You love sports. You love baseball.
I play baseball.
So you had passion and stuff like that.
Yes.
And then you would have passion in martial arts.
Yes.
And then when you went into the military and the Marines, you were very passionate in that too.
Yes.
I mean, talk about that just for a minute, because I yeah. want to break something down yeah. as far as you were a sharpshooter. You excelled in that. Why was that? Why did you get strength in those kind of things?
You know, I saw my life, you know, since I was maybe 11, 12 years old, that I wanted to go in the military. You know, I used to watch these movies, you know. And when the Vietnam War broke out, in our high school, the first person to get killed was one of the juniors that I knew. And then another one, missing in action. So I decided that when I turned, you know, 18 years old, I'm going to the military. Not knowing that at that point in time, God has hand upon me, because I got in this big situation where I got arrested. I had to go to court, and they allowed me to go into the Marine Corps.
You got in a big fight.
Yeah, so, I mean, here's God working, not knowing I'm going to Vietnam. And probably, I don't regret it. I regret what I did, mm-hmm. you know. But I don't regret that God had it set upon me all the way through.
Well, war is ugly, so it gets ugly.
What I wanted to point out was two things. One is that if you want to be, if you want to see God move in your life, you have to be dedicated and sacrifice. And there are some, like, look at the Apostle Paul. Like, he was very intelligent when it came to the Word of God. God took his strengths, and then it would shape him and mold him. Like, Raw's strengths are passion into something, such as martial arts, such as the military. And, you know, even in the book of Romans, it says, just like you used to serve the world, now serve God.
Yeah.
And when God got a hold of your life, as Ryan's breaking down right now, of like going to the high schools, it was with a passion and a desire of love. That, I mean, that's what you preach to us all the time. That's the only way you can do ministry and be effective.
Well, you know, I saw these kids, they're going to hell. You know, who's going to tell them about Christ? It was during the Jesus People movement. You know, it's a time of love. And then when I go to the high school, you know, they, when I started, they start throwing milk chocolate on me. So I said, oh, Lord, let me kill these kids, man. You know, because I was already in my 20s, you know.
You know what I liked about that high school stuff that you were talking about is that.
Because you're doing that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But I like what you were saying, that you would go and you would just share what you were learned. You weren't like a
Bible scholar.
We weren't a Bible scholar any means, or a spiritual giant by any means. But what happened is God is so faithful to like his word, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the Bible says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And Jesus is the word, right? He became flesh. The word became flesh and it was Jesus. He is the word. So when you share the word, you're sharing Jesus. So when you share Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit comes along with it. So you're there just in front of these people, just stepping out by faith, because we walk by faith, not by sight. You step out by faith, you share the word, which is Jesus, and then the power of the Holy Spirit comes and shows up, and it, like you were saying, it zaps people's hearts, it draws all man to himself, and God does the work. But people get so intimidated, like, okay, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to share, might be fumbling over my words, or I'm scared, I don't know much. It doesn't matter. I fumble, I stutter so much over my words because I talk really fast and I get, my mind works really quick, so I get ahead of myself, but it doesn't matter. You just studied, there's that verse that says, be ready in and out of season. I don't know, I probably butchered that verse, but basically be ready in and out of season. So when you show up, it says the Holy Spirit will give you those words at that time, but you just share. And if you share the word, God will be faithful. And the Holy Spirit is just like, it's this unseen power that the Bible talks about. It's like you see the wind blow. We've talked about this. Jesus talks about you see the wind, but you don't see the effects of the wind. Or you see the wind. You don't see the actual wind, but you see the effects of the wind. And in the same way, you know, just think about this. When you're standing in front of people, you're at the high school. I always think about this because it's a spirit realm. You know, we live in, there's different, this is the flesh world, but then the spirit is operating, the spirit realm, and we're reaching people in their spirit, right? Because we're spirit beings. So when we show up, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus Christ's spirit, the Holy Ghost is inside of us. So when we show up, the Holy Spirit is there. He's going wherever we go. And then when we preach the Bible, the word of God, the Holy Spirit is just moving in that place. Yes. And it's hitting people's hearts. You don't see what's happening. Mm-hmm. But by the end of it, like when you're done sharing and you're like, anyone wants to receive Jesus? Then you see him raise your hand. Now you're seeing the effects of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And that's what I want. That's why I wanted you to share this, because, you know, people could look at you, which the amount of success and what you've accomplished, what God has accomplished in your life and how he used you. And not only that, the way you didn't even know how to read or anything. You came from Mexico City. You're a failure at school because you're getting in fights and the whole thing. I get it. I've been kicked out of school. I was a failure at school too.
Oh, yeah. Sean too.
Oh, actually, right, Sean McKean too. Got kicked out for throwing rocks at the teacher's cars and did thousands of dollars in damages and got booted out.
Yep.
True story. Anyway, what I'm saying is, but what God did with you, dude, now fast forwarding, you just started stepping out in what you knew, and then God took you on this journey, this ride, to bring you to where you're at now. So, listeners out there, you got to start somewhere. You can't just think I need to arrive, or you're gonna get. Okay, let me ask you this, because we're interviewing you. Were you frustrated at times? Did you feel like you want to quit?
Yeah.
Did you feel like depressed because, you know, not depressed where you sat in your room and cried? But like, did you have moments, bouts of like, man, I just can't do this. This is just too hard.
Oh, yeah.
Am I ever going to be able to do this?
Yeah, because when you see the results, a lot of times they wouldn't even come forward. And then they walk away and go, Lord, what did I do?
You know? Results, as in when you share.
Yeah.
And they look at you like you have a banana growing out of your head. And then they just like walk away.
Yeah.
That's failure.
Yeah.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you know what? What am I doing?
Yeah.
This is stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's normal, though. Yeah.
My first Bible study I ever did, I spoke for Scott Salamet. And Scott's a good teacher. And I remember and he'd been teaching for a long time. And I went, he asked me kind of last minute to do it. And I was petrified to be in front of, 100 kids, in a high school room. Mm-hmm. And I remember speaking the first time, I seriously, because I wasn't somebody that would speak in front of a class or anything. I would ditch class if I had to do that.
We were always sitting in the back of the class.
No way. And so when I had to do that, I remember thinking, I was starting to see spots. I've never passed out before. I'm like, how does it feel when you pass out? And I'm like, it kind of feels like how I feel right now. But I finished. I remember telling Scott, I don't think I'll ever do that again. I don't think I'm called to really be teaching. I'm just cool to serve and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think I do that again. And then there were little things, little encouragements that people saw. Hey, man, I liked what you shared about this, blah, 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 blah. And then something that I learned that you've learned as well is that when God calls you to do something, he will empower you to do something. Yeah. And when you see the power of God working in your life, because Satan wants to bring fear in our lives where we don't do anything. Because if we look at our own selves, you look at you, how you were academically myself when we were younger, and just, lack of focus in some ways. But then you see the power of God and it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. It's legit. I remember the first funeral I did for our good friend who passed away. And I remember thinking, how am I going to be able to speak in front of... There was thousands of people there, actually.
I remember that.
And then I came on stage, and I remember... Because I was very connected to this family as well. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if I was going to break down emotionally. And I just remember coming out and just having the clarity, mm-hmm. the boldness. Mm-hmm. The word was just, together, so tight. Mm-hmm. And you just sensed it... hitting the hearts of the people. Had nothing to do with my wisdom, my strength, my knowledge, because 5 minutes earlier, I'm walking behind in the hallway wanting to go home and nervous, and then you saw the power of God.
Well, if you have the Holy Ghost in you, right, you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, he fills you, you have the person of the Holy Spirit in you. So when you act, when you step out by faith, the power comes upon you, and you could just... God will give you the words, and he's in control. And he doesn't take over your body because that's, demon possession. But the Holy Spirit illuminates you, and he gives you the power to operate in the Spirit. And the words start coming, whatever it is. You have that clarity, mm-hmm. The control. I know that moment, it just clicks. And then you walk off, and you're like, whoa, that was just amazing how that happened. But that's what God promises.
Yeah.
So we don't have to be scared.
Right.
But then there's those times. Let's talk about this, Dad. Okay, let's talk about. So those are those. Okay, that's a
highlight.
That's a highlight.
Okay.
Now let's talk about. Have you ever walked up and spoke and just walked to the stage and said, now that you're seasoned and everything, have you ever walked off the stage and been like, "What just happened up there? That was horrible," or on a
Sunday morning before I speak.
So there's sometimes.
Yeah.
For people.
And you study so hard.
Okay, so you're studying hard, and then you went up, and you just felt like, dude, it just did not happen.
But you know what? Those are the times that people get really spoken to.
So true.
Really? So spoken to, yes. Because you're thinking of yourself, and God is thinking of himself.
So so let me clarify that. Yeah. You're thinking of, I wanted to hit this, and this. Yeah. But God did something different, led you by his spirit to hit these other points or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then you walk away and you're like, why was that so kind of all over or weird? Yeah. It didn't go the way I thought.
Yeah.
But what God was doing is the Holy Spirit was like, we're going to be picking off some people tonight, sniper mode. Yeah. Bing, 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 with giving you those words.
Yeah, but remember, it's his word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He called you, not to speak beautiful, but he called you to submit to his spirit and to his word, and to remind ourselves that when you open your mouth, it's he speaking. And people, what does it say in Revelation chapter 2 and 3? He who has an ear to hear, he already prepared people's ears to hear. Even if you have a failure of a sermon, the word of God never comes back void.
Yeah, I like that.
Remember that.
our idea of success is different
yes.
than what the Lord's is. Yes. The Lord desires obedience.
That's it.
Obedience. Yeah. And like what Raul said, I know I've seen that in my life too. I'm like, man, I felt like the study was all over the place. I didn't feel like it was connecting. You almost leave down the back hallway defeated.
Yeah, and you're like, hey, where's that back door? I know I can get out of here quick.
Out of here. But the same thing happens. Either God moves like in an altar call or somebody inboxes you, sends you a message dude, that was... Yeah. You're like, really?
Yeah.
And then you're like, to me, and that's something I've learned in my life, you have to have a short-term memory when it comes to being used by God in some aspects. What I mean by that is it's not about you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not about you. It's not about this elaborate study you put together. It's not about you doing this evangelism event and all these people came to the Lord. God did that. Amazing. I'm going to continue moving on with what God has for me. And then you keep everything balanced. Because if you only look like, oh, only 5 people came to the Lord or 1,000 people came to the Lord, in God's eyes, all he wants from us is obedience.
Let me give you an illustration. Keith Reeder was an amazing teacher. I went to the first college Bible school, the Chuck Severn of us, Jeff Johnson, Steve, Stonebreak and all of us. So he was teaching the great literature very young. He was there. So he gave a sermon, and he thought, man, I gave the best sermon I have ever given. And he started walking off the stage, and he flipped. He tripped and flipped, and he ended up on his back, and the Lord said, whose word is it? And he learned, hey, I can't talk about myself, how great I am. Yeah. It's God's word.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to really be careful with that.
I want to add something, but going back to what you were saying right before that, is that, and that's what's so freeing about, because you were saying, you're just being used by God.
Yeah.
And then I forget exactly what you said, Sean, but piggybacking off what you said, that's what's so freeing about speaking with people. Or you were saying it's not about the numbers or these big evangelist events. Or I'm going to be in front of all these people, which is cool. When you first start speaking, it's cool. Like I remember, because you're just starting to speak. I started speaking in rehabs for 5 people, 3 people. And then the stage kept growing to music festivals, 20,000 different things. And you're like, whoa, this is really awesome to be in front of a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. Which is exciting. Because we're humans. We're like, oh, that's awesome, But what's so cool for me, and you guys obviously too, is just knowing that when you're in God's will, it's not about the number of people that you're in front of. It's just about being in the right place at the right time where God wants you, because you see the power of God work.
Yeah.
And you just see people's lives impacted. Like, what's better than, you can be in front of 20,000 people and give this message, but I think it's way cooler to meet one person on the street, pray for them, they give their life to Jesus, and you genuinely see it in their face. And when you pray, they get filled with the Spirit, and they're like, what was that? And you're like, that was the Holy Spirit. He just filled you. And then even when you pray for people and they get healed or whatever, that is so much more powerful, them encountering the presence of God. Then for me, I would rather have a one-on-one encounter with God, someone just getting prayed for, receiving Jesus, and you literally see it in their face, like, whoa, like God is real, than to speak in front of 20,000 people. That's what I live for.
That's biblical. Think about in the book of Acts, Philip. Philip was a part of a revival that was taking place in the book of Acts, and the Lord called him to go to one place to minister to one person.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would I leave this?
Yeah.
Obedience. Mm-hmm. God takes care of the results, because sometimes I'm not going to go unless there's 1,000 people there. Mm-hmm. I won't go.
Yeah.
You can't have that mentality if you're being led by the Spirit of God. Whether there's 10, whether there is 1,000, 10,000, obedience to God is the key.
Well, that's right now, I just posted on Instagram. I got invited to go do tell my testimony on some TV network thing out there. But what I did is they're flying me out. So what I did is I did a post on social media, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to be in Texas these three days. I got flights and hotels covered. I'm not looking for any money. Just book me to speak anywhere. Jails, prisons, street ministry, rehabs, high schools, anywhere, I'll go, because, dude, and then now I'm getting all these bookings.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, that's God's just opening the doors, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen.
Yes, when you do that, then it's God doing it.
But Dad, with that thought, we're going to break right now. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
All right.
More of The Ryan Reese Show. Coming up, post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook. Now, back to The Ryan Reese Show.
All right, we are back with my dad, Raul Reese, Sean McKeon. And right before the break, we were talking about, Dad, that you were in schools. You were not educated in the word as far as, like, you weren't a scholar at that time. You were at the very beginning stages, and we were just encouraging people that the word, when it goes forth, it never comes back void. And I remember Mom would tell me the same thing, like, Ryan, if you just read the Bible, there's just power in the word, you know? So from that point, there was a transition, because you're going to schools. You said you had seven schools. God opened the door for you.
Yes.
You were teaching Kung Fu. You were working in a grocery store at the time to make ends meet, because you had your startup business, which is a Kung Fu studio.
Yes.
But then what was going on at the Kung Fu studio? Were you playing Chuck Smith CDs? Were you teaching? Something happened there that birthed what you're doing now.
Yeah, well, what happened is that, you know, I decided to have Bible studies after the Kung Fu classes. Mm-hmm. So we put a cassette player with, you know, and listened to Pastor Chuck. So I can get these people that wanted to stay to listen to the Word of God. And a lot of those people, they were there. They got saved. I get emails all the time from people all over the country. Mm-hmm. They were in my Kung Fu school, and now they're saved, and they're in a ministry, or they're in a church, which is so cool.
Unbelievable. And that's, you know, that's another thing for people that go, well, I can't speak. I don't know what to do. Here's my dad starting by just playing, which we don't have tapes anymore. Kids, there are these things called tapes, and these things called CDs.
Telephones.
Yeah, basically, all you need to do is get your phone out, get a speaker, hook it up, and throw a podcast in, some kind of audio of a Bible study, and that's basically what happened. You just put it in the middle of the room, and everyone sat around it and listened to it. And then people got saved.
Yeah.
So now your Kung Fu studio, let's talk about this, because maybe you can encourage people. You weren't called to be a pastor. You were just playing audio tapes or audio in the middle of a Kung Fu studio. So that means that anyone can do this anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Home.
In your car.
If you own a restaurant, or you're the manager of the restaurant, or even even if your boss is a Christian and he allows you to do it at a restaurant, your tattoo studio, your skate shop, your music store. I mean, anywhere this could happen. Yeah. And what happens is, because the Word of God, when it goes forth, it never comes back void.
And it always starts by taking those first steps of faith. Mm-hmm. That's what, biblically, you know, you follow the life of Abraham, multiple characters. It's just that first step. You don't see the whole plan. You take that first step of faith, and God begins to open up doors.
Okay. Yeah. Dad, you said at the beginning of the show that God prepares people's hearts, you know, before you get up and teach. Remember that? Yeah. And that goes along with the same thing that God is preparing people's hearts around you.
Like you guys.
He's preparing hearts around you. Yeah. So, like, if they're just like, man, I've been thinking about doing something like that. Maybe God's already prepared the hearts of people around you to just put an audio on and invite them to come to your house and listen to an audio and eat pizza or something.
Yeah.
If you step out by faith and just do that, there could be like three or four people that want to come, or more.
Yeah.
You don't know until, Sean, like you said, until you step out by faith.
Yeah. And then God will start moving in your life. And you know what? The worst thing is, like, you know what? Maybe God hasn't called me to this. But, and he might show you something else. Mm-hmm. But it might be something that God is going to do in your life. Yeah. If Raul, and just like anybody else would attest to the same thing, if those first steps of faith weren't there, you would have missed out on all that God had for you. Whether it was Raul going to the high school, just like with a desire and a love for these kids and to share the gospel, whether it was Raul having a burden for his friends and then inviting them to a study. Mm-hmm. And they really started there. But people that know him and they've seen the impact from all the way of all these years, it then just happened overnight. It came with dedication and sacrifice. It came from getting real with God, making the Word of God a priority in your life, Raul. Like he said it in the beginning, and it is important, I think, to note, like, to have a good teacher. And Chuck Smith was a great teacher because it encouraged him. And like Raul has been used in my life, he's been used in a lot of people's life in the same way of Chuck, of like exhorting in ministry, exhorting in the Word, and then I take those tools and apply it to my life, and it's like it multiplies.
God will only use you as much as you allow him to. It's on your availability.
Yeah, everybody has a ministry. I don't care who it is, you know, because God calls each one of us to be saved, mm-hmm. and you just can't sit and not do anything. And when you take a step of faith to take one person, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you go, wow, man, great results. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to be open to the Holy Spirit.
Your faith grows.
Yes.
Now, going back to the availability, if you don't make yourself available to be used,
you're not going to be used.
You're like, I want to be used. Well, like, are you even available?
Yeah, I'm not available on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I got
a little bit after five.
This. You can't. If you're not available, and that's what happens. People just stay busy, mm-hmm. and they don't make themselves available. That's why they don't get used by God. But I can assure you this: if you make yourself available, and you get used by God, like my dad just said, you step out by faith, and all of a sudden, one person gets saved. And then you're like, that was amazing. And then you just continue to do it, and you just mm-hmm. see the increase because the harvest is ripe, Jesus says. Either he's
the
a liar.
The fruit will come.
The fruit will come. Yeah. I want to go back to walk. Let's talk about walking by faith a little bit. So people are like, oh, well, I've tried, and it was a failure. It's like almost like when you walk by faith, you're just knocking on doors. Like if you're going down your neighborhood and you're knocking on house doors. Some doors don't open. Some doors are going to open. Mm-hmm. And it's all right. You just got to keep knocking on doors. If you feel God leading you to step out in faith, to knock on a door, like to do certain things. It's hard to hear God's voice all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you're trying, it's like a radio frequency that you're trying to pick up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't get the good reception, but sometimes you hear clearly, and then sometimes it's spotty. It's just like K-Wave and Dima Bar. It's very spotty. You know, right here in this area.
Yeah.
You drive through, it's like, and I can hear my dad on the radio at 5 p.m. But the thing is, sometimes it's normal that not to hear the frequency of God, because sometimes
that's where faith comes.
Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit. Perfect.
Yeah, you know what is that? God doesn't want you to feel like, okay, I have a message now. I'm gonna win this today, but He wants you on your knees. You see, so that you can have that faith to go ahead and share the gospel, to study, to do whatever God wants you to do. And then it's God and it's not you. Mm-hmm. Real important about that. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, once God uses them, they think it's going to happen all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, but those times, you know, going through the wilderness mm-hmm. takes you to the promised land. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool.
I agree with you, Dad. Like for me personally, I just step out by faith. Mm-hmm. The way I look at it is like, if God shows up, epic. If He does it, cool. Not my problem. It's God the one that does the work. But I always just read the word and I just do what it says. And it's fine. Those wilderness experiences, sometimes when it doesn't happen, cool. Mm-hmm. Who cares? What do you have? What's wrong with him not showing up sometimes? And when I say show up, like say if you pray for someone and they don't receive Jesus, or you lay hands on the sick and they don't recover, who cares? You just step out by faith. And because God says to go out and preach the gospel and to lay hands on the sick and to minister to people and help people in need. Like it's just all in ministry, and you just do it. And what happens is, because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're reading and praying, like you're saying, you just have a supernatural love in your heart for people, and you just do those good deeds because that's just the sign of your faith.
Know your gifts.
Yes.
You know, because as a teacher, you can't be going out. You know, you got to study that. You know, there's open doors to do that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, they don't know their gifts. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to be Sean. They want to be Wade. They want to be you. Mm-hmm. They want to be me. And a lot of times they don't succeed because God hasn't called them to do that.
Okay, break that down for the listener. Now, let's just say that there's a listener right now that's like, gifts. What are the gifts? What are the gifts that you're talking about? And how do I find my gift that God wants to use me, or gifts?
I just use two gifts.
Okay, perfect.
Preaching and teaching.
Okay.
Okay. So when first of all, when you have the gift of preaching, mm-hmm. you're out there preaching, so you get people in church to get taught.
That's evangelism.
That's evangelism. And then teaching is bringing people into the church, and they listen to the Word of God, become mature, then they find their gifts, and they do what God is calling them to do.
So it's basically they become, you're teaching them, they become students of the Word.
Well, here's Sean,
they get discipled.
Guys,
and then they find, and then God shows them their gifts. And there's different gifts. Like, there's some people that...
21 gifts.
So there's 21 gifts. Like, here's an example of one. There's some people that just have the gift of mercy. Mm-hmm. And they just go in, hospitality. They go in and to old folks' homes. And they're just there.
Yes.
Hanging out. Yeah. With someone that has no family. And they're just hanging out at an old folks' home. And they're just hanging out, talking to them.
Yeah.
Like, believe it or not, that's a gift. Some people do that. Then there's other people that are like just want to serve. Like, what are we doing? We're cleaning the church today. We're going to set up for this baptism. We're going to go clean the warehouse. We're going to go drop some flyers off. You have that gift. You know what I mean? Then you have the preaching, the teaching. Then there's some people that have the gift of giving.
Yep.
That just, you know, maybe they're operating some big business and they're just like, you know what? The Bible, you know,
see, talks, God spoke to them too.
There's some people that just have the gift where God will speak to them, and they're like, okay, well, I normally give 10%, but you know what? I'm going to give 30% or 40%.
They see the fruit of that ministry.
Yeah, yes, they see the fruit. So there's different. There's some other gifts that you want to talk about.
You have the gift of administration, and that's important because you need organization. Mm-hmm. There's some people that just have. We know people like
you
that.
Have the gift of administration.
Yeah, yes. You know, you have
you're organized.
Yeah, you have those gifts, and there's other people as well that have those gifts of administration. It helps see the big picture of everything.
Yeah. The church,
And then there's pastors, teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors, teachers also have as they're teaching the word of wisdom, knowledge, mm-hmm. a prophecy, that's proclaiming of God's word. Mm-hmm. We said hospitality, the interpretation of tongues, speaking mm-hmm. in tongues. Mm-hmm. So there's multiple gifts. And Paul breaks it down. Like, not everybody has called to be a pastor and teacher.
Right.
You know, not everybody is called to have the gift of evangelism. Mm-hmm. Now, you are called to be an evangelist, sharing the gospel. But there are certain people that have those gifts in particular. How do you find them? Seeking the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
Stepping out by faith. You'll see. You'll know. Because just like all of us, the reason why we do what we do, it's because it's a... Paul says, woe is me if I don't do this, if I don't preach the gospel, if I don't teach. Like, it becomes like studying and preparation for myself, a role, though it's tough, there's also a lot of joy in it. It's not a grind. It's important, and everything flows. Like, God gives you the ability to put studies together, to be able to connect, to be able to see the whole picture of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. Mm-hmm. It is a gift by God. And so you'll know it. It'll just be your sweet spot. There's other things that I don't feel comfortable doing, but those are the things that I have found.
And the main thing is knowing the Word.
Yeah, knowing the Word, knowing your gifts. We're all right, because when you know your gifts, you know your purpose.
Yeah.
A lot of people are wandering around with no idea why they're here on this earth, and sometimes you've got to break it down. Look, God sustained your life. You could have been in hell. Mm-hmm. You could have been in a jail cell, but God sustained you. He forgave you. He cleansed you, washed you. Now, serve the Lord. See what he has for your life.
Well, here's even some more practical stuff. Like, we've been on mission trips growing up to go to Colombia and Chile and stuff. And we've done trips where they've told people it's a work trip. We're going to go build the mission. Dude, they bring the painters. They bring the contractors that are laying tile.
They have gifts.
Jeremy and Jim came. And Jeremy, he's a contractor for or like landscape. Dude, we dug a well there. Mm-hmm. Like, those guys dug the well. The other guys were laying the tile. The other guys were, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, and then you had the low, you know. My point is, like, it's not like there's different gifts. Just because you're not teaching the word or preaching an evangelism, dude, you come along and you're, like, building a well for this mission, painting, laying tile. Well, guess what? Now, years later, that's a full-on Bible school in Colombia that we have.
Dude.
But it started with them just coming and digging a well.
Yep. And you know what? You have the joy of the Lord. My father-in-law, Rudy, has that gift too. He's actually gone to Colombia and Chile with Sammy Duran, those guys, and have done work on those facilities back in the day. And it's like, dude, they're excited. They take off time of work. Yeah. They pay their own way just to go there. Like, they just have those gifts. They can those guys that can fix anything.
Yeah.
And yet they're a part of the work of God. And then students come. Teachers are there later. We all play a part in the body.
And you know where it started? With your bana and your papa. Mm-hmm. You know, that's mm-hmm. where it started. The Lord took him to Colombia by horseback. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. And then going there and building this place, the place being burned down, they get kicked out of Colombia. Mm-hmm. So what do? Their gifts and talents, they go to Chile.
Yeah.
See, that's the way mm-hmm. it is. You don't stand still.
Yeah.
You got to move. Okay, now where's my opportunity?
It's like what we were talking about earlier with Stephen, the evangelist. Like he was operating and he was in the middle of a big revival, but then God said, hey,
yeah.
go over here. He met with the Ethiopian.
Philip, yes.
Philip.
Yeah. Philip. Who did I say, Andrew?
Stephen.
Stephen.
Yeah.
He went to go meet with the Ethiopian, shared the word of God, used him for that moment, baptized him, and that Ethiopian, he took the word back to Ethiopia, which that's why there's so many Christians.
Yeah.
God took him out of this big old thing, plopped him right in front of this one dude. That was part of he was part of the kingdom of Ethiopia. Yeah. He takes the word back, and then boom, the word of God spreads. Mm-hmm. And that could have been like, why are you going to take me away from all these people to one person? Because it was, guess what? The bigger thing is it brought the gospel to a whole nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, that goes back to that one conversation. It's not about the masses. Mm-mm. It's about that one-on-one encounter. You never know. You know, the Billy Graham story.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing.
The guy that reached him, he was in a little small town.
Mm-hmm.
No one got saved at this guy's church for like 40 years.
Yeah.
One kid gets saved at this guy's church in the middle of nowhere in this
country
town. And he becomes the biggest
evangelist
of the world.
Yeah.
That's so true.
There it is.
So true. We just play a role, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But it all goes back to like just being knocking on doors, knocking on doors by faith. And you got to start somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, what if you never would have started with doing what you're doing?
I don't know where it would be.
Yeah. You got to start somewhere.
You know what, Ryan? When you go to these old people's homes, you know, these guys that are already there, their whole thing is, man, I wish I would have, but it's too late. You know, or you can start there a little bit, whatever is there, you know, people there, like your grandpa, man, he was there.
God can do more in a second than you can do in 100 years.
Sean, go ahead.
You said something that I think is important part to transition a little bit, because there's people like, oh, that just sounds good, but I got no time.
Yeah.
Got no time. Yeah. That's an excuse. I mean, Jesus speaks about counting the cost. You tell us about counting the cost. And you mentioned a little bit, like, when you came to the Lord, you had two kids. Ryan came to was born a couple of years later. But this was in the portion where God is really starting to move in your life. Mm-hmm. And if you wouldn't have been obedient to the Lord during that time, there was sacrifice, obviously,
yes,
working a couple jobs, you said, and all that kind of stuff. Why is that so? Because there's people out there right now that say, I don't have time. How do you find time? How did you find time during that time, and how were you able to sacrifice?
You got to make time. You look at your schedule. Yeah, it's going to be real tight, but it burns in your heart. You can't help it. And when I went to Perona Marcus, it was burning my heart. When I opened my school, it was burning my heart. Today, it burns in my heart. You know, and I want to be able, when I go to heaven, I went to heaven because my heart burned with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
This isn't something that you're just trying to do to be a good person.
No. Mm-hmm.
This is literally... I think one of the old prophets said, if I don't speak, this burns in my heart.
Jeremiah. Yeah.
It burns in my heart. And it's God, when he gives you those desires of your heart, it just burns. You just want to do it. And the more you do it, the more it increases, and the more it just takes over. Yeah. It's like a fire. It's like a consuming fire. Just you start a little fire, and all of a sudden it turns into a blaze. That's literally what happens in your life.
There has to be commitment.
You got to light the match, right?
Exactly. When I look at examples like from the world as far as athletics and stuff, like some of the greatest athletes of all times, whether it's a Kobe Bryant, whether it's a Peyton Manning, whoever it might be, there are so many thousands of hours of dedication from being young.
Preparing.
Same thing with skating. Yeah. Like you fail multiple times to do one trick and to get to the next level.
Yep.
What does it take? It takes dedication. Yep. It takes sacrifice of your time to get better. And then how much more so like in ministry? It takes dedication to read. It takes dedication to pray. It takes dedication to serve in ministry. You know, I think I've been in part of ministry since I came to the Lord my first year. I came to the Lord, and then later that year, I came on staff here. And I remember years going by. I've been here 15, 16 years, gone by like that.
I can't believe
but, you know, sometimes, well, how would it be just like coming to service like a normal person and then leaving with your family after? Because we're here. We do a lot on Sundays. And then the Lord would just minister to me. This is what God's called me to. It is different. You know, we are set up different. Yeah. Like, our schedule's different.
Yeah.
We get up early in the morning. We have a lot of meetings. We deal with a lot of stuff.
Which a lot of churches don't do that.
Yeah. And but it all comes down to sacrifice. It comes down to counting the cost. It's having the big picture. As Raul said, you don't want to have any regrets in your life. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have regrets.
Being like Christ.
You don't want to have regrets. Yeah.
It's never too late to start.
Nope.
Because
nope.
Like I said, God can do more in a second than you in 100 years. God's the one that opens the doors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, I want to start, you know, if he lays on your heart to start a study at your church or if he wants you to go on a mission trip, God, I want to go on a mission trip. Whatever it is, if it's his will and you pray, dude, someone's going to call you and be like, hey, man, I don't know. God just told me that to give you $2,000. You're like, dang it, that's exactly what I needed to go to Australia for 3 months, you know, or something. Like, God gets it done, but it all comes down to, you know, aligning yourself with his will.
Can I say one more thing? I know we have a few more minutes left, but this is something I think is important with Raul. You can't limit God.
Yeah.
You know, talk really quick, Raul, about like how there were people around you as the ministry began to grow and they saw your gift of evangelism. And some people were saying, maybe you should just be an evangelist. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should be like a traveling evangelist. Yeah. A lot of people come to the Lord, but maybe not a pastor teacher. Maybe have somebody else do that. But there was a burden in your heart. You had a conversation with Chuck. And if you wouldn't have submitted to that pastor teacher, you would have missed out on what God had.
No.
Talk about that.
Yeah. If I wouldn't have gone to Calvary Chapel, sit down and hear the word of God, you know, I could be an evangelist all the time. But by sitting under Chuck, I learned to teach the word of God. You know, and I might not be the best teacher, but God has proved it, that it's not me. He's brought the people. He's educated the people, and they have gone out and did what God called them to do. And I think that's something that a lot of times you can be discouraged. Well, you know, God wants me to be an evangelist, but I want to be open, you know, all my life to see what God is going to do when I get older or whatever it is. Because if you don't, you know, you're not going to be what God wants it to be.
Yeah.
Very important.
And it's always good to be open to, it's just like the wind. When the wind blows the leaves and the trees, it pushes them in different directions. And that's by being led by the Holy Spirit, is you got to be open to be able to move. Like if God's like, hey, you need to go to Africa right now.
Yeah.
Like you got to jump on a plane and go to Africa.
Yeah.
But I don't like Africa. Like I wouldn't survive there.
Well, you're going to Africa.
It's too dry. I got bad allergies. I don't do good in the dirt.
Break out hives.
Yeah. Like hive man.
Like wolf man.
But what I'm saying is God gives you desires in your heart, but you got to be flexible to move and be led. And when God wants, there's different chapters. There's just like the Ethiopian with Andrew. Boom, he's going to pop you around and move you around. And then when it's time to do different things, he opens the door and he gives you those desires at those times.
Mom and I were always open because we felt, well, God put us calls to go to South America.
Yeah.
You know, and I even to the present time, Lord, where do you want me to go?
Yeah.
A lot of times people get secure, they have a big church. Right. You know, I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go be by faith.
Yeah.
But, you know, God has kept me here for, 47 years.
He tells us this all the time.
Yeah.
In staff meetings, this place isn't my security.
Yeah.
Calvary Chapel Golden Springs is not my security.
Yeah.
Like this location, not my security. If God called me to leave, and I believe him because he's done it before in his life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like important for all of us to realize too. Don't limit God. Don't put God in a box.
No.
Don't just be like, well, this is my sweet spot. This is all that I'm called to do. Well, you know what? Pray. Be open. That's all it comes down to.
Yeah.
And maybe it is. Maybe God has called you to be in that one particular area, that one particular ministry. But also, never limit God. That's what I would say.
When I first got saved, and I was helping do the music festivals here with the exit concerts, I thought, because we did like what? We did 3 in a row. Then we did the military events in 29 Palms. And then I was starting to do other smaller ones in different places around the United States with different ministries. We were doing concerts with, you know, all those guys. And then all of a sudden the finances stopped with the music festivals because they cost so much money.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. I literally for 3 years was like, okay, that's it. I'm doing music festival outreaches. My dad's he's speaking. I'm building, I'm putting it all together and he's the evangelist. He's doing it. I'm not speaking. Remember that? Never.
You didn't want to speak.
I was not on the stage at all. Didn't do it. But what happened then, the money stopped and I'm like, oh no. Now, like, I lost my call. Now what am I going to do? But then God started opening doors for me to share my testimony. Mm-hmm. And then that led to, I started teaching the Bible later on. Then that turned into the radio show. Just finished the book. The book comes out this spring. I'm still traveling to schools. We're producing movies. There's all these things happening. But if I would have limited myself, this goes back to you, what you were saying, Dad. If I would have limited myself, no, I do music festivals. That's how God's using me. I would have missed the whole thing.
For sure.
And Dad, you've done several movies. You got Taking the Hill. You got your old movie in the 80s, Fear to Freedom. You got a book that goes along with it. You have several books out. You got a full teaching radio show across the nation, around the world, I would say. Church. You got a Bible school here. All right. We're at the end of the show. Dad, thank you for being on.
Thank you.
Sean McKeon.
Amazing.
As always. All right. We will talk to you guys next weekend. Peace.
Peace.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday for The Ryan Reese Show.
Hey friend, I'm Brooke McLaughlin, host of the Everyday Prayers podcast, a ministry of million praying moms, and I'm here to invite you to partner with God for the hearts of your children on the daily. Our goal at Everyday Prayers is to help moms understand and pray God's word. Join us each weekday as we share insights from God's word for today's Christian mom. Tune in to the Everyday Prayers podcast in your favorite app or by visiting lifeaudio.com.